Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Welcome back. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. I am Carrie Weber, along with Father Matt Malone, and we are speaking with Father Charles Barnes, who is a Catholic chaplain at the VA Medical Center in Seattle. And he has been speaking with us about the work that he does there, the ministry to veterans. Father Barnes, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about how your work connects with or communicates with the chaplains who are on active duty out in the field. I know serving veterans, you serve the men and women who have returned home, but I wonder if you are able to learn or communicate with the folks who are out there to kind of gain a better understanding of what it is that people bring back with them.
Well, it's the relationships I have with active duty chaplains are more kind of informal. I do know a couple of Jesuits who are functioning now as active duty chaplains, and it's always great to sit down and chat with them. A lot of times, though, it's more kind of there's a handoff that happens. And I think, Father Matt, you mentioned it in the introduction, where there are different concerns that we encounter, whereas we in the VA tend to be working more with the transition home, mm-hmm. and transition back to spiritual life and the things that are that they're dealing with in the moment. It may have an origin, or it may have some things that, you know, were caused by being on active duty. One of the biggest issues that, or two of the biggest issues that we have are post-traumatic stress disorder, and also suicide is another one that both the military and the VA are taking very, very seriously and are reaching out in any way we can to identify those people who are hurting and really do require help.
How is it that, it seems to me that the work of caring for our veterans has changed dramatically over the last few decades, particularly when we think about the way in which wars are fought has changed dramatically. What do you think are the challenges that are unique to caring for veterans today, say, that we may not have been thinking about 20, 30, 40 years ago?
Well, first off, I think we know more now about post-traumatic stress disorder, how it's caused, and we have better ways in which to work with veterans, and also to be able to have better treatments and better ways of helping them to rebuild their lives. A second thing is the nature of the injuries that we are getting since the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. And most of the previous conflicts, what we've been seeing are mostly our abdominal wounds, the shootings, bombs, and so forth. What we're seeing today is a very, very high incidence of traumatic brain injury, where concussions, a vehicle runs over an improvised explosive device, leaves them with a severe concussion. And so that the traumatic brain injury is one of the highest incidences of injury that we are seeing from soldiers and from veterans who are coming back. And so there's specialized way of working with this group who are cognitively impaired.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is the percentage, say, of veterans who have some form of PTSD? I mean, there's a way in which it's evaluated on a continuum, right? Severity.
It is evaluated on... I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, unfortunately, mm-hmm. But it is something that we do routinely screen for. It's something that they are routinely screened for in active duty. And sometimes, you know, and that screening isn't foolproof. The symptoms may not arise until after they had the initial screening, or they may just try to minimize it and think it's okay or it's going to go away. But it's also, I think, important to remember that not everybody who goes through armed conflict comes out with PTSD.
Right.
It's the, again, you know, if they have an experience of trauma, again, that overwhelms their ability to cope, there may be things that they have learned to do in the field, that the military chaplains who are deployed with them can be a big help. But it's not, you know, the fact that someone has PTSD is not a sign of weakness, and it's not a sign that someone didn't get help or take advantage of the help that was offered.
Hmm.
Right.
When I was a boy and growing up, we had a guy who lived down the street from us named Ray Long. He was a terrific, terrific fellow and such a gentle, generous man. He was a Vietnam veteran. He had served in Vietnam, and he used to sit outside in the car and wait for his wife and kids to finish mass, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember once being in the presence of him and my father said, "How come you don't go to mass, Ray?" And Ray said, "You know, whatever religion I had, I lost in Vietnam," right?
Yeah.
And I thought, my God, what an incredible casualty of war, his faith, right? And
yeah.
So, I imagine this is something that you see, and how do you kind of enter into that, accompanying people through that experience?
Well, I think the most important thing I can do is to be present to them. I do see this quite a bit where people did lose their faith. They're either angry at God or they're confronted with the age-old question, why does a generous and beneficent God allow evil for there to be happen?
Mm-hmm.
And these are issues which are very, very difficult to resolve. And so I think my job is not really to push anything on them, but to help them to utilize their coping skills, and also taking a very big page from Ignatian spirituality of allowing Christ to enter into the situation and recognize that Christ is the one who's actually doing the healing, and I'm just kind of an enabler in that process.
Right, right.
Right. Father Barnes, I wonder if you could tell us, without breaking confidence, of an example of an interaction you had with one particular person who might have come into the VA that really moved you and kind of changed the way that you saw the experience of veterans playing out.
Well, I think the place where I see that the most is my work in the spinal cord injury unit. I encounter the patients who come there in various stages, whether they may have been injured back in the 70s or have new injuries. And what's really humbled me is the way in which they have been able to recover emotionally and spiritually from their injuries and really integrate it and make it part of their lives, where they're using the gifts that they have been given and really seeing it to be a grace. I mean, I was the first time I heard someone say, breaking my back changed my life in a positive way, really just floored me.
Right.
And I'm very much struck by the human capacity for resilience and the fact that, you know, we can be healed, we can bounce back from these things, and that we can, and that there is hope for everybody who comes through the doors.
Right. And I would imagine those traumatic experiences can also be kind of conversion experiences, as you were describing Father Malone, St. Ignatius had at the beginning, where
he was convalescing from his injuries in battle, mm-hmm. and that led him to a new relationship with God.
Yes. And I've also seen that happen too, where people see a serious injury as a wake up call that they've decided that, or they've had an experience where they want to reconnect with God or heal a broken relationship with God that had happened in the past. And that also too, it's again, it's trusting in the work of the Holy Spirit and trusting that, you know, God is with them and God is ultimately going to be the one who heals them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would also imagine that just like in active duty, there's a shortage of particularly Catholic chaplains in this kind of ministry.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. The help wanted sign is out.
right.
For the moment, the military archdiocese is deluged with applications for endorsement, and so they're not taking any new ones right now. However, the VA is actively looking for Catholic priests to come and serve in this ministry, and it's a very vital and very important one. And so I would encourage anybody who has an interest in working with veterans, and really a very rewarding ministry and apostolate, I would look into this.
Now, when you said that they're deluged by application, I'm sorry, what did you mean by that?
Right now they have a number of applications for endorsement.
What does that mean?
Before you can apply to a VA position, you have to seek an endorsement through the military archdiocese.
Okay.
And it basically is a process of making sure that you are a priest in good standing, that the bishops or the religious superiors are recommending you do so, and that there aren't any impediments to your coming on board. Also, too, extremely important, have we had the appropriate safe environment training?
Right.
Has that all been successfully completed? And just really a kind of a vetting process to make sure that we are getting chaplains who really are quality people to serve the veterans.
But you're saying that there's been an increase in interest among some priests for that kind of work?
Yes, I think there has
been. Yeah.
We're finding there's a number of priests who are coming from abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And are filling some of these positions. The only one of the major requirements that the federal government insists upon is that you have to be a U.S. citizen, and there are a number of people who have been here and have qualified for citizenship ahead of time. But there are a number of people from places like Africa and Poland and the Philippines and who do a very, very good job and are very competent as chaplains in the various facilities.
Now, I wonder if you could speak a little bit about this kind of relationship between the military and the archdiocese and the faith, because I know a lot of people sort of struggle with that, and in particular, sometimes the role of being a participant in a war or being an active duty chaplain who is a member of the military. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the conflict that some people feel about that and how that is resolved or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a colleague put it very, very succinctly, taking a page from St. Augustine, hate the war, not the warrior.
Right.
And so it's more of being present in a situation where there is need, where there's a requirement for compassion, and most of all, there is a requirement for mercy. Again, to evoke Pope Francis's metaphor of church as a field hospital. This is a place where it gets down and dirty, and you're literally helping people and being with them in crisis.
Right.
And From an ethical sense, I think there is an imperative that, you know, we need to be there, to be present and to be with them and to provide the aid that we can, because war gets waged with or without the chaplain.
Right, right, exactly.
And so it's better that we are there and we can be of help and assistance.
Right. And if people, we have a couple of minutes left, if people want to learn more about the work that you and your colleagues do, or they want to be helpful in some way, what can they do?
Well, one of the things that they can do is they can volunteer. VA hospitals across the country are always looking for people who can come to the hospitals and volunteer. I have a team of Eucharistic ministers who come and assist me in my work and who take communion to the Catholic patients. Also, too, they can get involved in their parishes. I think there we've gone some way to making parishes veteran friendly, and I think there's more that we can do. That you know, we could have you know areas where people can get together. We can have support groups, and really just be there to listen to their stories and listen to the things and be able to do so in a very genuine and open fashion.
Right, because it's you know one of the points that a recent author in our page has made is that. That we sometimes forget, and this is worth remembering on a day like today, that these folks they fight and they struggle in our name, and so we're responsible for caring for them and making sure that they have what it is that they need to not only survive but also thrive. In all of the years that they have after their active service.
Absolutely. In fact, last Sunday's gospel was particularly poignant because these men and women are that widow's mite. They have given of themselves, oftentimes at great personal cost. And I think it's a responsibility of society and of the church to care for them when they're in their moment of need. And so that, and that's why I see my work as first and foremost an enormous privilege.
Right. Well, it's been a great privilege to speak with you, and thank you for your ministry, and thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.